Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own business. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitchell.
David.
We live in a tumultuous time right now, buddy.
It's a little tense.
You know, we were talking about this a little bit before the show. I'm just so mentally worn out from all of the bullshit. I watched, and it's my own fault. I know to disconnect, but it's like it just keeps coming at me, I watched that video of that girl getting stabbed. Dude, that fucked me up for like 3 days.
Yeah.
Like I could just feel her sadness.
Yeah.
Like not her pain and that she's leaving, but that she was alone. No one got up to fucking help her. She
right.
just, like, it was one of the saddest things I've ever watched.
What's crazy, so, like, that actually happened a couple of weeks before the Charlie Kirk thing. But the mainstream media never really reported it, and it wasn't until it kind of made it popular on social media before it really kind of got out there.
Yeah.
And then the mainstream media, like, starts backtracking, and, well, we're actually covering it. Oh, yeah. Well, good job.
Were you?
Yeah. But, it's no different than Cracker Barrel changing their logo, right? They get so much blowback on social media that they're like, we got to fix this.
We got to maybe
which
reassess
not,
our situation here.
I'm not convinced that wasn't intentional from Cracker Barrel. So if you think about it, they got boatloads of free advertising. Now, will it help them in the long run? I don't know. But they were the most talked about restaurant in the U.S. for a couple of days. So...
100% honesty here. I did not think about that for 1 second.
Yeah.
Secondly, I have been like, I've tried to keep my conspiracy theorist mind out of the podcast. Like at the beginning when we first did it, I was like way up here, right?
Yeah.
And you were way down here. Now we've kind of switched and now it's almost like you're not, like I used to look for conspiracy theories. Like, oh, this and that and this and that. And now you're just calling half of this stuff like, nope. Something else is going on there. Oh,
well,
and I don't know if it's because you've changed or if it's just there's so much weird shit going on or I've just zoned it all out.
I'll say this. I'm a conspiracy ideaist. I don't think I'm a conspiracy theorist.
What's the damn difference?
So in other words, a conspiracy theorist would probably ascertain Cracker Barrel did that on purpose, right? Me, I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if it was discovered that they did it on purpose. I'm not saying they did. I don't see why they...
That's how they start, though. It's like one guy's like, hey, I wonder if they did it on purpose.
Right.
And then everyone freaking runs with it.
I mean, that's not the kind of publicity I would want for my business, so I can't entertain the theory that they did it on purpose because, like... I mean, to a point, all advertising is good advertising. There's no such thing as bad press. But at the same time, that's not the kind of attention you want to draw to yourself. And so it's just one of those things of I wouldn't be surprised if it was discovered that
no, I wouldn't either.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
I mean, there's almost no such thing as bad publicity.
Right.
I mean, there is to a certain extent, but you're right. Like any publicity these days is like, oh, now people are looking.
Right.
And if people are split, if everyone's looking and 50% are on this side and 50% are on this side, you're still gaining traction.
Right.
Over, you know what I
mean?
You're
going to lose a percentage of them that disagree with you. And the people that greatly agree with you, they're going to shop with you twice as much.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like there's no, it's almost like there's...
Yeah.
You can't lose, you know? It's weird.
The hard thing about the train thing versus the Charlie Cook thing. is, I do not agree with this argument at all, but there are people that are poorly wording the argument that Charlie Kirk had it coming. And in, when I say they're poorly wording the argument, what they're giving people the benefit of the doubt, what they're getting at is you can't make a career out of arguing politics with people that much and then be surprised to be the subject of political violence. And I get it, right? Does it make it right? No. Do I agree with him that he had it coming? Absolutely not, right?
No, I agree too. It's like, you know, if I speed every day to work, eventually I'm going to get a ticket.
Or an accident.
Or I'm
going to
get in a wreck.
Yeah.
You know, you can push the boundaries so long before something happens.
Right.
But yeah, is it, should it? No, of course not.
Right, right. But so the biggest difference between Charlie Kirk and the train thing is, the for one, we don't know a lot about the Charlie Kirk thing yet because we're still in the beginning days. You know, it's been a week.
To think that we're going to ever know what actually the truth is
right.
Insane.
Right. In any political killing, you'll never know. Like they do a very good job of hiding a lot of those facts.
I'm not to that though. I'm not convinced that kid didn't just kill that guy.
Right.
Either. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like all these people, you and I were on a debate with a guy the other day who, by the way, I think removed all my posts because he's probably a chicken shit.
No, you were talking about him. I saw your comment. You were talking about him being removed and it was right above your post. It's just sometimes Facebook.
Sometimes I can't see him.
Sometimes Facebook doesn't show you everything
yeah,
for some reason.
But all these people are like, oh, you can't make that shot. No, that a trained sniper. And I'm like, and my point was my 12-year-old daughter can shoot at 100 yards. It took me 20 minutes to get her to do it with a red dot.
Yeah.
Like, not even a scope, not prone, just sitting at a table. Like,
yeah.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, and I don't think I had ever thought about this until recently. There is a real disconnect from people that live in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always known this, and this is going to make me sound stupid, but that's okay. There's a real disconnect from people that live in the city and then people that actually go out and or live on farms and hunt mm-hmm. and fish. And, you know, they have, the lifestyle is way, it's so far apart that I didn't realize how far apart it was, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, like for us, it was normal to be kids and be like, hey, we're going to go bird hunting.
Yeah.
Everyone just grabs their shotguns and they go out and they bird hunt. Some guys used to do it in the morning, come to school,
yeah.
their shotguns would be laying in the back of the truck and no one thought anything of it.
Right, right.
And you tell somebody in the city now, and by city, I just mean like Overland Park, suburbs, oh my God, there's guns in the back of a truck?
I mean, shit, I was in
it's
the...
It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I was in the trap shooting club in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a letter jacket for trap shooting.
Yeah, it's the... And choir on the other side. It's
yeah.
the nerdiest...
I was a geek, but it
it's
is
okay.
what it is.
Yeah.
Like it was a sanctioned thing, right?
Yeah.
And so I want to get back to the Charlie Kirk thing, but
yeah, go ahead.
The biggest differences between those two, and that's why everyone has such an emotional toll right now, is because yes, it's two innocent people that got murdered, and for no explainable reason yet. However, those two situations are so completely different.
Yeah.
One was a legal immigrant in the U.S.
Yeah, from Ukraine.
From Ukraine.
Left the war.
Killed by an illegal immigrant with a criminal past.
Oh, he was an illegal?
He was an illegal immigrant.
Oh, I thought he was just a
with
black guy.
16...
I knew he had priors.
Priors.
Yeah.
And his most recent thing, he was let out by a non-lawyer magistrate. The person that let him out doesn't even have a law degree. And so enough to infuriate you. It's enough to get you mad about the legal system that we're letting people like that out and all this stuff, right? And it's a purely innocent girl. She wasn't talking bad or she wasn't saying things that people hated, not hate speech. Right. That's another thing we'll get into with the Charlie Kirk thing.
I know what you're saying.
But she wasn't putting herself like the worst thing she did to put herself in harm's way was she got on a subway.
It was a bus.
Or was it a bus?
Yeah,
okay.
It was public transportation. Just a bus. I mean, yeah, but it happens all the time in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's usually there's an argument. It's a mugging. Like it's something. It was literally someone just sitting there.
Yeah.
And what I think inflames people more is that no one even fucking tried to help her.
Right.
They just sat there and watched her die.
Yeah.
Like how how horrible of a person do you have to be to watch that shit happen?
Right, right. And, I mean, I can understand some people get paralyzed with fear in that moment.
Yeah, but not all those people.
And they want to help, but they physically can't get their body to work to help. Like, I can understand that. But to have, there were four other people on that train.
I think there were six.
Or bus.
That were behind her. Yeah. The whole front of the bus was full, too. He walks by, blood dripping all off his hands and the knife and everything all over the bus, saying, I got that white girl, got that white girl. Like, dude.
Yeah.
No one can run back there and, like, try to help her?
Right, right. And so like, that's infuriating enough. And so while that has your emotions peaked, then you see the video of the Charlie Kirk thing, because they were not taking that video down very quick.
Oh, dude, once that thing got past the first share, it was over. No one has that kind of power.
And so now you're watching another killing of an innocent person, but for completely different reasons. And I'm not saying they're justifiable.
No, I get
but,
you.
The girl was 1,000% innocent. No way to expect it. No nothing. I mean, Charlie Kirk has a security team. The FBI is like, they work with the FBI to help make sure they're safe with all the threats they get and everything else.
Yeah.
And so, like, I mean, the moment you have to have a security team, you recognize that threats are headed your way, right? So that's why it doesn't come as a surprise that it happened. But the challenge with the Charlie Kirk thing is, I think no matter what side of the aisle you're on, the other one, like, everybody's like, that guy's a bad guy, that guy's evil, he needs to go away, that poor girl, right? But because Charlie Kirk spoke so much about hot topics in politics, you end up with a large group of people that, for lack of a better term, are very okay, if not happy, that he's not here anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
That's a big problem.
That's like, a huge problem.
What I thought of instantly, and we weren't alive for this, but when Martin Luther King was killed.
Yeah.
Like, if it had been someone on the left that a right nut had shot and killed, would the enjoyment, per se, of the other side have been as egregious?
So
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't have an answer for it.
So, like, the hot topic around our house has been, like, okay, you know, Biden and Kamala Harris, when they, like, I don't agree with their policies, right? But if I were to catch wind that one of them were assassinated, what would I, like, I can't judge somebody for being like, well, that sucks, but they had it coming. Like, I can't negatively judge you for that if I would say the same thing if the roles were reversed, right?
Yeah.
And so,
I guess that was kind of my point too.
Yeah.
Like, what, you know, where's it at?
And like, Danielle and I were chatting about it, and I mean, you can't guess what you would do until you're in that situation, but the only thing we really came up with was, man, that sucks. Somebody's without a family member. This is one of the risks that you take when you get into politics, and it's really sad that people resort to violence because they disagree with the words somebody else is using.
Yeah.
And so, you know, am I sad about Charlie Kirk? Not necessarily him directly, but his wife and kids for sure.
I'll agree that it's a sad situation.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sad because, you know what I should say? Let me start over. I'm sad that this country is in such a shithole situation.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for his wife and those two little girls.
Yeah.
You know, like that's,
I had to watch it.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I have a daughter. That's awful. They're not even going to know who he was. There is, you know, well, I
a
mean, he's on the internet.
Maybe.
Yeah. You know, like, I feel bad. Like, that's awful, you know, but I feel worse for that little girl that got stabbed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, more, if more innocent is a phrase at all, but, you know, someone that literally just is a nobody.
Right.
Just trying to be alive in a better place.
Yeah.
You know, is gone.
Right.
I think, you know,
it's,
that's what makes it worse.
I kind
for me,
of liken
I guess.
It to feeling, this is a poor comparison, but like when you're watching an NFL game and somebody gets like grotesquely injured. And now a word from our sponsors. Field Pulse is the field management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. It's got advanced features to run as your CRM, your customer relationship management system. It can handle your estimates and your invoices. It can handle scheduling and dispatching. It can give you good, better, best proposals. It can handle your maintenance plans, and it'll even incorporate the Tradewinds price book that we sell at Tradewinds. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with all the other softwares you're currently using, like QuickBooks Online, your bank, your desktop, all of that stuff. So hit the ground running without ever changing how you do your normal day at work. By simplifying your day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just us saying this. Field Pulse has earned an average 4.8 rating across 600 reviews. So to learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FIELDPULSE.com.
Oh, I don't feel bad at all. I'm like, that guy just has been getting paid.
Right. You know, leg pointing the wrong way, or like DeMar Hamlin, for example, you know, a traumatic medical thing, right?
Yeah. Like they've put themselves in that situation.
Right.
Like they're doing it by choice.
You chose that career and you knew that's the risks of those careers, right?
Yeah.
And the biggest difference between like athletics and politics is the better you are at athletics, typically your risk of injury goes down because you learn how to fall. You learn how to take a hit. You learn that extra half a yard isn't that important. And so you pick up your plant foot so they don't blow out your knee or whatever the case may be. But the opposite's true in politics.
Yeah.
In politics, the better you are at your job, that risk goes even higher. And I think whatever motive we end up learning about Charlie Kirk, I think what we're going to find out is that his words were so effective amongst America's youth, which is the next voting class, right?
Yeah.
And so whatever the motive is, I have a feeling it's they didn't hate it. What he was saying was definitely not hate speech. He quoted the Bible a ton, right?
He would always say, I think what maybe was the detriment to him too and why people hated him so much is because the clips that Turning Point and other people would put out is they wouldn't always show the end or the beginning when it was, hey, thank you so much for your question. God bless you.
Yeah.
I love you. I hope that everything works out. Like none of those things were ever.
Yeah.
Like half of the time it wasn't there.
Yep.
And so it was just, it was like mid-sentence cutoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it did seem like it looks bad sometimes. Very bad. And
that's just social media videos these days, though. Like, if you want a video to take off, you have to leave a little bit of controversy in there.
Yeah.
You look at our most viewed video on this show, and we're bashing the cops for not doing...
we are not bashing the cops.
I am.
You are bashing the cops. Let's be very fucking clear about that.
Yeah, I'm bashing Kansas City Police Department for me finding my wife's stolen Jeep and them doing nothing about it.
Yeah.
You know? So, but... we had a 30-minute conversation. We whittled it down to a 3-minute clip, and most of the comments on that clip that were upset, their answers were in the 30-minute thing. It's just you're not going to get 8 million views on a 30-minute video like that. And so we whittle it down to a 3-minute video. We get 8 million views on it. But yeah, so I mean, that's just kind of the nature of social media clips and what it takes to get people's attention.
And that, I think, is a problem in and of itself. Because people will take a 3-minute clip, I'm not saying that clip, any 3-minute clip or 30-second clip or 10-second clip, and then they will take that as fact and the summary of something that was so much larger.
Yep.
When in fact, that's probably not the case. And they will not, for the life of them, search out and read and find material and find the truth. They will just run with it because they're inflamed about it.
Yeah.
Like the attention span of people is so small now that the only thing that seems to move forward is negativity.
Yeah.
And it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a real freaking problem, man.
Yep. Yeah. You're seeing people get, you know, I don't want to say canceled, but you're watching people get exposed for when they think they're making a comment on social media in a semi-private setting, and then all of a sudden their comment gets screenshotted and then shared and they're tagged in it. and letting the world get judged by it. So, like, I'm friends with a lot of roofers around the nation, and this is...
I hate roofers, too.
This is all, like, kind of spawn of Apex. There was a lot of roofers in Apex, and I just get in that industry. Well, apparently one roofer...
Dude.
One roofer, like, made a derogatory post that, I mean, it was in incredibly poor taste.
It wasn't in poor taste. It was bad.
Yeah.
Jonathan Bannister shared it.
Yes.
And I saw it.
Yeah.
And then I saw Keith Goss share it.
Yeah.
And these are guys that I'm just friends with, and I know none of the people they know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
And so I can only imagine, like, and one of the guys was like, well, I think we got him taken care of, and they screenshot his company, and the star, it was a one star. And
one
they
star
had been
rating.
Five.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh.
Yeah. And so, you know, you're hearing a lot of complaints about that and everything else, but... You know, First Amendment allows you to say whatever you want to say. However, it doesn't prevent the public from holding you accountable for what you say, right?
Yeah.
First Amendment allows somebody to say, I hate a certain group of people. But First Amendment doesn't protect... Now, this doesn't make this group of people right. First Amendment doesn't protect you from getting killed by that group of people.
Yeah.
Right.
Or your business being shut down.
Or your business being shut down or whatever else the case may be. Not saying that's the right response.
No.
But I do firmly believe that we are in a deep problem in America where people are not being held accountable for their actions on the small scale. And so you're seeing bigger issues develop from the lack of accountability on the small scale. Take the girl on the bus.
Large scale. Yeah.
Yeah. Take the girl on the bus. Had we held that criminal accountable one of the 16 other times, that would never have happened.
That girl would be breathing.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's go with the trans community for a minute. And, you know, 10 years ago, we started running into problems where people wanted to be identifying as other things, and they started trying to demand that we call them by different pronouns or call them by different names that aren't their legal name and all of this stuff. And we gave into it as a society, in so much so that it was like mandated by corporations and government now.
Yeah.
Now it's like a hate thing if you don't do this sometimes,
they're
right?
Pulling it off. That's being pulled back
down.
It's
being pulled back,
yeah.
Right? But like, if you came to me and said, I want to go by Danielle now and my pronouns are she, her.
First off, if I'd ever do that, you beat the shit out of me.
Right.
Something's wrong with my brain.
Well, the moment I appease you and I say, well, it doesn't hurt me to call, like, I'll call him whatever he wants to be called. It doesn't hurt me to do that. The moment I do that, I am now culpable in your lie.
You're an enabler.
You are lying to yourself. And now I am validating your opinions by lying to you for you.
Yeah.
The moment we do that, everything from there on is a slippery slope. Because if I was willing to lie to you for you about something so simple that we know is not true,
yeah.
Well, then everything else that you're deranged about, everything else where you have a mental problem that's causing you to feel a certain way.
Yeah, I would feel empowered to just act on it and be
right.
Like, nope,
no,
I'm right.
This is normal.
I'm right.
Right.
This is normal. I'm fine.
Right.
Everything's fine.
We showed a video. I don't know if we showed it. I shared it amongst all my friends. It's two girls on a podcast, and they are talking about MAGA, which I just still don't know what MAGA is. If I had anything, MAGA is like maybe extreme right. I don't know.
It's depending on what idiot you ask, it's different.
Yeah.
So,
but they were trying to say,
was it the two girls that talk about being conservative and only conservatives have boats?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
it was that video. Yeah. And they were like, you know, I've never felt more conservative than when I'm on a boat, because you're like out there in the middle of the water and you get freedom and you usually have a beer in your hand and there's probably an American flag flying and all of this stuff.
Like, yeah, and how could you be against that?
And they were talking about, like, that's the downfall of being a liberal, is liberals don't have boats, and it's because the government doesn't hand out boats. But,
well, it's because they're fucking lazy, but yeah.
Yeah. But then the thing evolves into, there's one person that's kind of driving the bus on that conversation, And somebody says that boats are the original tool
for slavery.
Of yeah. no, of
oh, I thought it was slavery. Uh-oh, now you're caught because I can't bail you either. I can't bail you out, dog.
It's like the original tool of like social deconstruction or something like that.
How do they make that parody?
Because we came over on the Mayflower, the Santa Maria, and the all the...
Oh, my God.
The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, and the Mayflower, and, you know, all the things.
Talk about disconnect.
The boats brought the original colonizers over, so they are the original tool of like social deconstruction, and you know all. And it's like, okay, you're a little over the line there, right?
They're not over the line. They're just insane.
They're yeah.
They have just no rational thought.
Right.
I want to just circle back to the cancel culture thing, and then we'll kind of move on a little bit. What I find very interesting about the cancel culture thing is, so for all those people that came out and were saying, some of them were saying some pretty horrible things, right? Like, I don't care, it doesn't matter. And then they get fired from their job and then they're losing their minds. How could I get fired from my job? How can I this? How can I blah, 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 blah. Do you not remember 10 years ago when all of you that are now being fired for what you said, like someone would get drunk and say the N-word and then you'd literally try to get them fired?
Yeah.
Do you not remember all that? How you were up in arms? Oh yeah, we got them canceled and blah blah blah. Like it's okay to celebrate it then, but then not act accordingly and to your own quote unquote rules now.
I don't even go back that far. I'm like, wow, that you're complaining that you got fired because you said something. Charlie Kirk died because of saying things.
Yeah, it's
like.
The
words have consequences.
I've been actually writing up a little bit of something because I can't quite put my finger on it and it's starting to annoy me. But what I've really grown to see is the amount of contradiction that is in their own thought process.
Yeah.
And their own rules that they create. So I've been trying to kind of, you know, physically by writing, map it out, like and you know, try to draw some comparisons, but it's so insane how much they contradict themselves on a daily basis, whether it be politics, whether it be, you know, white on black crime, whether it be cancel culture. It doesn't matter what it is. There's a contradiction in everything that they think.
Yeah.
How can you, even if 75% of this country was a little left or far left, you still couldn't move forward because none of them on that side can come together enough to make it work.
Right.
It baffles my mind, and I just can't put my thoughts around it because it just makes no rational sense.
Right. Yeah, the problem is the internet has caused a lot of people to want results super fast, and that even means the results of a discussion, right? And so we very quickly transitioned from listening to understand another person's perspective that might alter our perspective slightly, or we might change our mind, right? We very quickly moved away from that to now everyone searching for the viral clip where they own somebody or they put somebody in their place or whatever.
Yeah.
And you see this a ton on videos of politicians arguing in Washington, D.C. And you'll be like, you'll see a video that's like this one senator had this other senator on the verge of tears is the headline. And then you watch the video and it's like, just them pettily arguing and nobody's on the verge of tears of anything.
Yeah.
But they
get shock value.
Gotta have the shock value headline to get you to watch it. And you also see this in politics. I was watching a video the other day where Elizabeth Warren was asking somebody who won the 2020 election. And this somebody was apparently a Trump supporter. And he said, well, I believe Joe Biden was certified the president of the United States after the 2020 election. And Elizabeth Warren, she's not asking the question because she's genuinely asking the question. She's baiting him into a viral clip. She's trying to get him to say on camera, Trump lost the election, and he won't do it, right? And so she was like, hold on. So if Joe Biden won the election, who lost? And he goes,
Ma'am, I've already told you that Joe Biden was certified as president after the 2020 election.
Does she get mad?
And she
She's
ends
kind
up
kind of a bitch.
Yeah, she ends up getting mad, and she was like, "Why can't you say Trump lost?" Ma'am, I've already answered your question three times now. Do you want me to just keep answering it? Joe Biden was certified as the president after the 2020 election, and they're both like in this little stalemate, right? But that's another problem with all of this stuff, is everyone's having partial conversations just to bait you into saying something, so then they can then take that out of context, which is bad enough, but then they're going to take that out of context and use it against you, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was a big listener of... what's funny is I wasn't really a fan of Charlie Kirk until after he passed away, but I was a big listener of his stuff because I loved the dialogue and I loved the debate. And he loved to let you say your side. And then as he's starting to state his opinion, he would always find common ground first. And
yeah, he would say, okay, so if you're saying that, this must be true, correct?
Or
they would say yes or no.
Yeah, or he would say, okay, let's take this a step back. Let's go to here. Do we agree on this? And they would say yes. Okay, cool. So
so if that is true,
right,
and then he would catapult his point from that statement.
Yeah. So like an example of that is somebody was asking him about why he's against being pro-choice. And he says, well, I firmly believe that life begins at conception and all of this. And this lady was kind of arguing with him back and forth and everything else. And he says, do you know at what day after conception the heartbeat's formed? And she says, no, I don't know the exact day. And he goes, well, that's kind of weird. Are you saying I know more about the female reproductive system than you do, and you're arguing for the female reproductive system right now? And she was like, you're not going to bait me into that and blah, blah, blah. He goes, okay, let's try this another way. If a person kills a pregnant woman, he's charged with two murders, right?
Yeah.
And she goes, yes. And then Charlie says, do you agree with that? And she says, yes. And he goes, okay, so right there, we've decided that is two lives.
Together. We both decided.
We both just agreed that. So now that we can recognize that that life in the woman is a different life.
Yeah.
Now we can have a new conversation. And sometimes he gets through to people, sometimes he doesn't. But I always valued that about him. And I think that a lot of the people that hate Charlie Kirk, they hate him because he debates instead of converses. Yes, yeah. But what I'm getting at is like he's not in it to expand his view. He's very solid in his view. He's in it to talk to his supporters at those college campuses and to attempt to convert his non-supporters
into supporters.
Into supporters, right? And I mean that's the MO of that was his whole MO. And so the people that disagree with him or that didn't like him, I think they didn't like him because they thought he was missing this whole thing of like being empathetic to the other person's opinion or trying to like meet in the middle on something. And you can't take somebody that is that firm in their Christian faith and meet in the middle on abortion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and people, I think... You and I both know this. When you cannot convince someone with the truth and they refuse to believe the truth and they know that they're wrong, they just get insanely mad. And
correct.
They scream and they yell and they carry on.
Yeah.
They don't just admit, I'm wrong in this and walk away. Or
yeah.
Or don't even say it and just walk away. They feel like there has to be, like you were saying earlier, I got them.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be a gotcha moment.
Well, the only way to gotcha Charlie was to shoot him because he was right.
Yeah.
He was telling the truth and people didn't like the fact that he was telling the fucking truth. And
right.
People just, I've said this before, not really on the show, but to, you know, you and other people. And, you know, I'm not real big on the internet because basically the conversation we're having today.
Right.
But the problem with people on the left is when they don't get their way, they scream and cry and picket and burn cities to the fucking ground and throw temper tantrums.
Burn Teslas
because they don't get their way.
Yep.
Well, you're not going to convert to what we want. well, then we're going to set this place on fire.
Not a single riot the night Charlie died.
Yeah.
Not a single city burned.
No, prayers.
Nothing. Yeah.
Vigils.
Yeah.
You know? I don't understand how anyone with a rational thought in their head could be like that.
Yeah.
Could be on the left and be like, are you telling me you can't see that looting and burning when I don't get my way is bad?
Right.
And that having a candlelight vigil when someone is shot for their views and not violence is good?
Right.
How can you not see that?
Yeah.
And I think that what I said at the beginning was, I feel sad for the country,
mm-hmm.
because once we get to that point, which we've been at for a while,
yeah.
unfortunately, like, is there even a path to return? The answer in my mind is no. If a civil war broke out tomorrow and we freaking killed them all,
mm-hmm.
it would just start over.
It would.
You know what I mean? Like, that isn't going to... Even the most extreme thing I can think of that could happen still wouldn't fix the problem.
Right. Well,
you know what I mean?
All civilizations collapse at some point.
And start over.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, could this be the collapse of the U.S. civilization? I don't know. Could this be the beginning of it? I don't know. But it certainly feels like we have a civil war brewing, only this time it's not necessarily the North versus the South. It's like the right versus the left kind of thing. And so, like, now everyone's blaming Democratic rhetoric for making an individual. Like, let's just run under the idea that this person acted alone. And he was fueled by the information from...
Conspiracy theories on later episodes. Yeah. Let's just...
Well, I mean, based off the information we have right now, we don't have any proof that he didn't act alone. Right?
Yeah, you and I do not know.
Yeah.
The public does not know.
The public does not know. And so there's a lot of things we don't know about it. So, like, let's just run under what we have now. Let's just assume he acted alone. What inspired him to be that way? Well, it's all this rhetoric... in all of these lies about who Charlie Kirk is, right? And I got into a conversation the other day with somebody who's on the left-leaning side of things. And she's also very anti-knowledgeable on guns. Doesn't know very much about guns at all. And not the person that should be making statements about guns, definitive statements.
Either be educated and have that opinion or shut the hell up.
Yeah, or learn.
Yeah,
right.
That'd be me, like, trying to have an opinion about healthcare.
Right.
Like, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse.
Right.
I don't know what to prescribe. Like,
right.
I am not educated in that area. So right. Don't believe what the hell I have to say about it.
Yeah. And so she put up some graphic that was obviously made by somebody else. And the graphic is made to be shared by people who don't know shit about guns. And that also they are trying to debunk the idea that Charlie Kirk was killed by a leftist and Charlie Kirk was killed for his anti-LGBTQ whatever views, right? All the letters.
Yeah. I can't even keep them straight anymore.
So this graphic said something about, of course, it went big numbers.
They always do.
Instead of a 200-yard shot, it was 600 feet away, which is... 200 yards.
Yeah.
Right.
It's 300 feet per, or 3 feet per yard.
Yeah.
100 yards, 300 feet. Yeah.
So they're trying to say 600 feet with a store-bought rifle, and he's 22 years old, and he's on an incredibly elevated surface, and it was very windy that day, which it wasn't windy. Like, none of the tents are blowing in the background of any of that, right?
Yeah. It was a little bit of crosswind.
And then they were like, he's on a slippery surface on the roof. It's an asphalt, loose gravel roof. And he's laying down. Like, how good of a shot can you really make at 22 years old with a store-bought rifle and all this stuff against it? And all this stuff going against
you. First off, every rifle's store-bought.
Every rifle is store-bought. Every rifle is going to be accurate within a half inch once dialed in. All the way out to like 500 yards.
A decent rifle will have 1-inch MOA.
Yeah.
I mean, a good rifle.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say good. An average rifle at 100 yards will have 1-inch MOA.
What is MOA for our listeners that don't
know? Minute of angle. That means 1 inch off in any direction per 100 yards.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And so...
Thought you got me there, didn't you?
No. I was just trying to refrain from the acronym just in case people don't know what MOA means. But so I could literally walk into Walmart today and buy a package rifle with a scope already installed on it.
Yeah.
And within 20 shots in the range, just 20 pulls of the trigger, I could have that rifle. And I am not a marksman by no means.
If you had a laser bore sight, you could have it in 5.
Yes. Yeah, you could bore sight it, and then within 5 shots, you could have it shooting 1-inch groups at 100 yards.
Yeah.
And also, the loose gravel doesn't make a difference on anything when you're on a flat roof in the prone position. It could be asphalt, it could be paper, it could be whatever. That's the whole purpose. You're in the prone position.
Prone position is the most accurate way to shoot.
It is the most stable way to shoot on all terrains. And so, but the way this graphic is put together, it tries to make you act like the prone position is another reason we shouldn't believe this, right?
Is this the same one where I put the calculations on there? I don't know if you were on that one or not.
No, this one was different. But then ultimately she was trying to say that Charlie Kirk, she wasn't being hateful.
She was trying to say that it's a government conspiracy and they had him killed.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. And she her whole thing was like they did all this to cover up the Epstein files, which the two have nothing to do with each other.
You know what I noticed? I never posted this out there. I was like, from everything that I've seen, everyone posts, don't forget the Epstein files. I had forgot about the Epstein files, and now I'm seeing them more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's refreshed in my brain, so let's not pretend like this is some kind of cover-up for that.
Right.
Like, it's so dumb.
It can't cover it up. Right. No. But...
No, AOC won't let you forget.
Hey, guys, this show's running a little long, so we're actually going to split this into 2 shows. So you're hearing this at the end of part 1 of 2, and you'll just have to tune in next week for the other half of the show. So we look forward to hearing you guys or seeing you guys next week.